Ephesians chapter 6, and reading together please from verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked or the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Lord bless to us the reading of this very precious paragraph of His Word. But really, one verse is sufficient for my exercise in this present meeting. And that is the first verse that we read. It is a marvelous introduction to this stage, if you will, or to this section of Paul's presentation of divine truth. In this lovely verse, there are three very important words. First of all, there is the expression, or one word in the original, be strong. And then there is the word power, often translated by the word strength. And then thirdly, there is the word might. Now, any acquaintance with concordances and those things that can help us will show the use of these three words in our New Testament and their use in this epistle, which is quite limited, but very, very important. Last night we listened to our dear brother unfold to us something of the frailty of life. And that is very important. And he linked with it the thought too of brevity. I suppose we felt the importance of that and the challenge it brought to our hearts, to all who were present for that ministry. I want to concentrate tonight, the Lord helping me, on the issue of the frailty of our lives, and hence the necessity for that endowment, that experience of divine power, which only our blessed Lord in this verse, and only our blessed God can give. I would think that as I listen to the exercise of my beloved brethren this morning and yesterday morning, among the many things that were expressed was the confession of weakness, individually, collectively, locally, and generally. And that, you know, impressed me because that was exactly my exercise for this moment. And as I think of my own life, and then as I think of yours, whether young or old or in between, here is something that we freely acknowledge and readily admit: the frailty of our lives and the tremendous need for a sense of divine power. Now, I'm sure, beloved, you acknowledge that. I would want to acknowledge it freely. And I would be cast upon God for these moments just to know His help, just to know the endowment of His power to convey the truth of this wonderful exhortation as found in verse number 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Each of us, as I have said, with our lives before us or behind us, are conscious of the tremendous need to know power from God. But you know, that may be dangerous in my hand, and I would rather put it this way: to be made powerful by God. I think that is important. Sometimes power misused, sometimes power misapplied, can be very, very dangerous. I would want that God would make me by His power, by His strength, by His Spirit, powerful, that I may experience the power. And young Christian, I feel that with that life before you we heard of last night, however short or however extended it may be in the mercy of God, surely we're going to need something of divine endowment. And that is what I feel I must stress tonight. Let us get the force of this lovely verse in our hearts, that it is possible for us to experience the endowment of power from God. We need it, as we're going to see, by the help of God, in every exercise we put forth in the name of our blessed Lord. And this to me is very, very telling indeed. So I want to concentrate at this moment of time on those two words: be strong. Be strong. This word indicates two things. First of all, the strength that is in view is strength that is coming outside of myself. Although it seems to me in the reading, be strong, that I would exercise something that would make me strong. But that's not really here. It is to be strengthened by a power outside of myself. But then, you'll notice, it's really a command. We would put it, technically, it's in the imperative. And so it is something that becomes my immediate and my personal responsibility. Just the same as we have in verse 11, put on. Just the same as we have in verse number 13, rather take unto you. Just the same as we have in verse 14, stand. And again, verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Here the apostle, by the Spirit of God, is issuing a command, an imperative injunction that must not be missed, that cannot be avoided, that becomes your immediate responsibility and mine in things divine and in the subject before. So here is a wonderful combination in these two words. A strength that comes outside of myself, a strength that I allow to be received and experienced in the very fabric and fiber of my being, yielding myself wholly, absolutely and entirely to the empowerment, the endowment of this power that comes, as you can see, from the Lord Himself. My dear young Christian, I want you to be encouraged. We have been reminded again, may I refer to the ministry of the evening past, because I listened carefully in anticipation of what my exercise may be. If only we could enter into the simple exhortation, the imperative command of these two words, I believe, beloved, it will transform our testimony, individually, collectively, and in every possible degree. Now, what I want to do, and I trust you'll allow me to do this, I want to take you through the Word of God and listen to these words being used in varying circumstances. And then I want you to be able tonight to put yourself, by the help and the grace of God, into those circumstances. Because I feel that they will profit in this sense. If I could only conceive of myself being in a like situation as these people to whom we will refer are found, and they being encouraged to be strong, I feel, beloved, it would result in the kind of blessing we are seeking and have sought from our God. Now, most of you have been occupied with weighty material throughout this day. I understand that. And I want to try and just keep your attention and hold your mind and allow the Word of God to do more speaking than is necessary even for me to do. So I'm going to take time to ask you to turn to several portions that will help us to keep awake, and it will acquaint us with the actual text, which to me, beloved, now listen carefully and listen kindly, which is more than anything I can say. And I personally feel, beloved, sometimes in our ministry, we seem to set the Word of God aside and are more concerned that the people hear what we have to say about it rather than what God has to say to us through His Word. After all, beloved, we thank God for the hymn book. But we haven't come to be occupied with that. It has had its place. The point, surely, in your presence in this meeting tonight is to hear the voice of God through His Word. And I want you to hear it tonight with these two words either in the Old or in the New Testament, resounding in the ear of those that were found in demanding circumstances. Put yourself in each of them for the glory of God. Now turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 31. Healthy exercise to read the Word of God, as you know. Lest I misquote and you don't note, then there would be difficulty. But chapter 31, please, of Deuteronomy, verse 6. Be strong. Look, please, at verse 7. Be strong. Look, please, at verse 23. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. Isn't that tremendous? Who is the speaker? Moses. Whom is he addressing? Joshua. Was that enough? It sounded tremendous. It was absolutely vital. But turn to Joshua 1. Just a few pages on. And verse 6, be strong. And verse 7, only be thou strong. And verse number 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. And that's not all. That's not all. Look at the end of the chapter. And the end point of the verse. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, I think that's tremendous. When there is a spiritual conquest to be procured, we need to listen to the sevenfold command. You got that? When there is a spiritual conquest to be procured, these words are vital. Three times from Moses. Three times from Jehovah. And once from the people. Seven times Joshua on the verge of the greatest moments of his life is encouraged, is exhorted, be strong. I wouldn't have time to draw a likeness between Joshua in the Old and a Timothy in the New, because we're going to come to that in a moment, but I'll let you do that. All that I want you to feel tonight, young Christian particularly, is this. You know perforce of your salvation. You know perforce of your place in the purpose of God for you. God has presented before your eye an inheritance that has to be possessed. You know that. That's within the compass of this epistle from which I have read. And I haven't time to introduce to you the majesty of chapter 1, or the mercy of chapter 2, or the mystery of chapter 3, or the maturity of chapter 4, or the morality of chapter 5. But you know, beloved, you know that as you sit in this meeting tonight, whether young or old, God has lifted your vision and has focused your eye upon something that is far above and beyond the perimeters of this passing scene. You are coming into possession of the purpose of God as an inheritance eternal. And listen, if you're going to enter into that experimentally in your life as a believer in Christ, you're going to need the strengthening power of God to acquire it. Because, is it in keeping with the epistle that the apostle tells us of the tremendous presence of fools that assault us, that assail us? He tells us not only of their presence, but he tells us of their power. And he tells us of their proximity, because he uses the word wrestle, and that's a very close kind of thing. And need I remind you as you sit in this meeting that you are assailed by fools that will contest every inch of the spiritual inheritance you would try to apprehend in your life and in your heart for God. You know that. And I would interpret your presence in this meeting as being indicative of a spirit-begotten exercise, beloved, that is interested in reaching out and reaching on into a personal experience of what God has for us in His Son, that will transform our lives. Transform our lives. You know that it's not a question of being so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly use. Away with that. I would take the message of this epistle to be this: the more heavenly minded I become, the more earthly use I will know. But beloved, if you're passing through the scene of time idly, and you're occupied with the forces that are aligned and arrayed against you, you will find that spiritual inheritance will be very, very small. Now, I wouldn't have time to identify the enemies that were withstanding the approach of Joshua. But God knew them. God knew them. And he tells Joshua that they must be driven out. Driven out. Now that's important. Other verses, other portions will tell us other things about it. But the responsibility of Joshua, if he's going to enter into the mind of God in the incident that I have read to you, he's going to have to be empowered by the very strength of God. And he's going to put himself in such a position that that power will be his experimentally to deal with the enemies that are seen. The Midianites have strength. The Amalekites have seduction. I could go on. But do you know what I feel in my soul tonight? Is one of the most subtle enemies that's depriving me betimes of possessing the richness of the inheritance of God is what's seen in the Moabites. I'm going to call it the slackness of the Moabite. refuse to be poured from vessel to vessel, settle down on its lee, not living a disciplined life, content with ease, satisfied with physical comfort. The fat man of Moab had a winter house and a summer house. That is, depending on the temperature, he could readily adjust to suit his comfort. And that man had brought Israel in that day under oppression. My beloved, I feel tonight that this is a very, very subtle thing. And we need the strength of God. How much time are you giving to your Bible? Are you giving to being conformed to the image of His Son in the quietness of His presence? I'm asking you, to what extent are you being strengthened to deal with the subtle enemies that surround us and would assault us and deprive us from the inheritance of God? Now look, please, at another portion. This time we'll look at 1 Chronicles 28. The first book of Chronicles, chapter 28. We'll look at chapter 22 first of all. My, I love this. Verse 11, "Now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed." Now chapter 28, please. Verse 10, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Now please, at verse number 20, "And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Beautiful, isn't it? When there is spiritual construction to be promoted, we need to be strengthened. I won't have time to turn you to Haggai, but you look at chapter 2 and verse 4, note it in your notebook. Three times Haggai uses the encouragement and the inducement. He mentions it, he says it to Zerubbabel the prince. And then he says it to Joshua the high priest. And then he addresses the people. And in that verse, three times, Haggai uses the word "be strong." Why? They're building. Actually, in that passage they had ceased to build. They had commenced. But the enemy had come in and had brought the work of building to a cessation. now through their ministry and that of Zechariah, obviously and gladly, the work was resumed. So, here are two sessions got to do with building. What? The house of God. Man, I tell you, brethren, I'm asking you tonight, with a heart full of love for each one of you, are you being strengthened to build something for God in this locality? What are you putting your energy into? What is the sphere of your interest, spiritually, physically, materially, and every possible way? Now tell me, have you succumbed to work at something else? I wouldn't think that is true of you. I would feel your presence here tonight, beloved in Christ, is indicative of your devotion and your determination the longest day you live to build something for God that will be a testimony to Him and to His blessed Son until that day of testimony ends. My dear brethren, I want to tell you, you need strength to do it. For when the pressure comes, and when the enemy presses, and when temptation is sore, and when self-interest could arise, it's very easy to succumb. Let me tell you that. And you're brought to a crisis, and you come before God in abject weakness, and you ask Him what for? For strength to build for God. I trust, young Christian, you'll feel that in your soul tonight. And Solomon did it, and the remnant did it. And I want to trust in my soul, beloved, that there's not a soul in this building, in this meeting at this moment of time, is building something they're going to assist God to destroy in a day to come. You know that men are building systems. You know that many devoted saints are contributing their energy, their exercise, their expense to systems that are not in keeping with the mind and will of God. And God is going to bring them to the battlements of heaven, and He's going to let them see, those that were His, what they built, go up in consuming fire when the harlot is burned. Man, I tell you, brethren, that to me is separating. That to me is tremendously vital. And young Christian, if ever you're going to need the exhortation to be strong, it's going to be in the context if you're assisting and you're presently engaged in building something for God. Now let us turn to the spiritual conflict. And we're going to look at another passage. We haven't time to look at them all, but we'll look at 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. I have to hurry, but I'm glad that you're turning with me, better than anything else that I have to say, because your eye is concentrating on the Word of God. Hear the words of Hezekiah, verse 6, and he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Not great. with him is, with us, rather, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. And the people rested themselves upon the word of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Isn't that lovely, beloved?
Isn't that a tremendous exhortation?
In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines used the word to their comrades, be strong and quit yourselves like men. Amaziah uses the same words in 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. And in keeping with the exercise of this reading, where there is a spiritual conflict to be pursued, brethren, we need the exhortation. Be strong. All right now, here we are sitting in the comparative preservation of a godly atmosphere in the meeting. We're to the most of our company, I'm sure, and to the best of our God-given ability. The focus of every fiber of our being is upon the good word of God and the God of the word. But now listen. Even before the meeting is over, and possibly sooner than we could expect, we could be faced with the conflict with the evil one. Tell you. And we have mourned in our prayer and confession to God those that have left the path of fidelity. Those that have been overcome in the fight. Those that are out of the way. Here's the exhortation in the conflict. Be strong. Now turn to Daniel, please. Good exercise, isn't it? Lovely to hear the rustle of the pages. And Daniel 10, if you please. Now this is what really I would have liked to have concentrated on, to be quite honest with you, but I had to reach the others. I love verse 19. Verse 19. And we read verse 18. Then came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he, here's the word you see, and he strengthened me. That's exactly what we're after. That's the Old Testament counterpart of our word. And strengthened me. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. That good? I love this. What is it this time? It's not so much a conquest. Not so much a construction. Not so much a conflict. Oh, but listen, brethren. Listen. You younger men, particularly, I love every one of you. Thank God for the touch I've had with so many in these meetings. And with many, many more. Here's a question of communication. Communication. Is not this the greatest thing possible? Here's a human person, friend. And he's going to receive divine communication from God. And because of this, he's exhorted, be strong. And read the whole chapter, won't you? Because in the chapter, the word strength and its form occur 7 times. Now listen. You listen carefully now. And this is my burden for you in connection with our brother's ministry. You read that chapter tonight before you sleep, young man. And once it became known to Daniel that there was heavenly engagement and that the forces of divine authority were moving toward him for a ministry from God, he sat down and he ate no bread. Neither did he anoint himself.
For that period of time that he mentioned.
And listen, I hope I'm not repeating myself unduly, but I want to get something over to my younger folks tonight. The devil will have you singing hymns all night, the great Condit said. And social round of fellowship is very, very precious. And all those things have their place and part.
But now listen.
If you're going to be the vehicle of the mind of God, and God is going to give you something that's going to be transmitted to His people from His Word, no matter how frail you might be, no matter how simple you might be, you will have to know the quietness, the blessedness, listen carefully, the solitariness of the presence of God, even to physical and material sacrifice. If you're running all day and you read your Bible, you'll nod. Not in agreement, but in sleep. If you don't know what it is to set aside in discipline a time to wait upon God in His presence and to know the strengthening hand of God to receive a divine communication, now listen, through His Word, then what is the need of God's people? Don't say, no one give me this. Oh, I went to the meeting and I didn't get that. And in our assembly there is not this and there is not that. Listen, brother, carefully. That is self-condemning. You bring yourself into the presence of God and get this exhortation clearly in your soul. When there is a spiritual communication to be preserved and possessed, you need to be strengthened by the power of God. And put yourself free, beloved, free. Now listen carefully. Free from the very obligations of life. Personal, domestic, whatever they may be. And prove the reality of this divine endowment that will equip you to communicate the mind of God to His people. I love this. 2 Timothy 2, please. 2 Timothy 2. I think this is very precious. Now you'll get others in your Bible, won't you? Because the little expression is used 22 times. So I haven't covered them all. But here's a lovely one. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Dear brother, do you feel as a result of God's dealings with you that you would want to commit yourself to a service for Him locally? Or whatever His will would appoint, you'll need strength. You'll need to be strengthened for a spiritual commitment. That's Paul's word to Timothy. You're going to teach others. You're going to commit to others what I have committed to you, that in turn they may commit it to others. what a procession is here. We all know it. And if I had time, of course we could go through the figures of the second chapter. But just let us get the exhortation. Where there is a spiritual commitment to be performed, I need to be strengthened. Now let me just mention these things in closing. Let us describe the power. I would say, brethren, let God describe it for us. Because this word is used 8 times in our New Testament. I haven't time to look at them all now. But let me encourage you. Be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? That means that the power is inherent power. Not in me, but in Him. In Him. That is, He is the source. He is the stay. He is the supply of the power that I need. Of the strength that He ministers. And that's the point of this verse. Be strong in the Lord. It is inherent power. 1 Timothy 1 and 12, the word is used. And there, I'm going to call it inner power. Inner power. For Paul says that he enabled me. Enabled me. Now, ponder that lovely word. It's the same word as here. That is, He strengthened me for the task, for the service, to which in boundless grace He called me. And Paul knew that in the innermost core of his being. It's inner power. What a blessed resource. If we looked at Acts 9, verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, that this is the Christ. Isn't that lovely? What is that? Increasing power. Increasing power. For the dimension of your calling, for the demand of your commitment, the blessed Lord Jesus is able to increase that power. Well, let us get that. Let us draw on that tonight. Oh, I know we have confessed thoroughly our weakness. Well, let us try and experience something, not only of the inherent power, not only of the inner power, but of the increasing power of our blessed Lord. I like the word that Paul uses in chapter 4 and verse 20. Speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but waxed strong in faith, giving glory to God. It's intensive power. Mind you, friend, when the sky is dark and the surroundings are bleak, and you're claiming the promise of God when it seems there's not a beam in the sky. You ever there? Come on now. That's where Abraham was. Death and him. And deadness in his wife. And the only thing he has is the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God, but waxed strong in faith. Thank God he gave God the glory. I have to miss the others. And I'm going to close with the word of Paul.
in 2 Timothy 4:17. No man stood with me. My first answer. Paul, you're really reliving where we first saw you. Here's the government of God, Paul. The first time we ever saw you, you were standing. And you were consenting to the death of the Savior's disciple. And there wasn't a man among you stood with that dear man Stephen. Now, governmentally, he said, I stood alone. No man stood with me. And what happened? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Invincible power. Invincible power. And I trust that though our life is brief, and though our lives may be brief, we will know just what it means to be strengthened by His power in the inner man. Let us pray. Our blessed God, we bow humbly and reverently before Thee in Thy presence. We have readily owned our weakness, but we just as readily would claim Thy power. Thou knowest the forces that are arrayed against us. Just as soon as we rise from this hall, they will crowd in. They will crush out. But we do pray that we might be enabled by the power of God experimentally to overcome. Maybe to possess more of Thy mind and will for us. It may be to build for God as never before. Whatever it may be, wherein we need the empowerment of God, grant it to us, Lord, individually, collectively, continually. We mourn our weakness, but we rejoice in Thy strength. Take us to our homes devotedly, with earnest expectation that, like an Ezekiel in the past, the hand of the Lord may be upon us. Grant us this, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen.